Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the SOM TV podcast. My name is Jason Wise. On today's show, I am going to speak first with Claire Copey about hockey, the NHL, and wine. And then I'm going to have MVP Stanley Cup winner Cam Ward and his winemaking partner Jason Ernest on the podcast to talk about their making wine in Napa Valley and just sort of the crazy influx of wine into the NHL. You don't want to miss the conversation. But first, we have an incredible offer right now for 50% off an entire year of SOM TV. For those of you who have been waiting or those of you who are joining us from the NHL or somewhere like that because of Cam being on the podcast, you can get SOM TV for an entire year for $25. That is insane. Use the code NHLWINE at SOMTV.com to get 50% off. There's a limited number of these, so do it quick. SOMTV.com, use the code NHLWINE. You can watch hundreds and hundreds of hours of the greatest food and wine content you can find anywhere, including our James Beard-nominated movie, The Whole Animal. That was just announced, by the way. Go to SOMTV.com and use the code NHLWINE. Claire, it's great to have you back on the podcast. You are a resident hockey expert. I want to start with, why are we talking about the NHL and hockey on a wine podcast? For all of you wine people, hold on. Don't turn this off. Claire, why are we doing this?
Well, we're talking about it in part because we do have a really special partnership coming up with the NHL that will be bringing a lot of really cool content to you discussing this bridge between the hockey and wine world. The sport of hockey outside of the NHL itself, it really just encompasses a lot of different countries, a lot of different cultures. There are a lot of the players and management who are very passionate about food, wine, and you do really see this huge explosion recently, I would say within the last decade or so, of former players, former people who were involved in the NHL becoming winemakers or becoming more involved in the winemaking process, or people who are just getting really nerdy about it. Mario Lemieux is a huge wine collector, and you see people like Cam Ward with their own wines, Wayne Gretzky, if you've heard of him, Jim Fox from the LA Kings. Like you mentioned, there is this huge kind of interest in wine coming out of the hockey world at the moment.
It's actually great to see. I mean, hockey is, I think there's an argument to be made that it's the most global league of any sport. I mean, you have players from so many different countries. Mm-hmm. When you get that influx of, you know, people from different countries with different backgrounds, you get lots of culture. And so one of my favorite things about talking to different hockey players, whether they're from Canada or Eastern Europe or the United States or any other myriad of places they could be from, they always have these incredible meals they grew up with. They always have a spirit or a drink that they grew up with their culture. And they bring that stuff. And what you get is this great melting pot of food and wine on the ice. You would never expect it, but they truly bring an appreciation. So, and then, you know, Cam Ward, who I'm about to speak with, I think he's really an interesting guy. Do you mind really fast just doing a couple minutes on what he's done in hockey so people can place who he is and what he's done?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, he's a goaltender, which is probably one of my favorite positions in hockey. Got to give those guys a lot of credit. He's from Canada originally, but he played the majority of his 15-year-long career with the Carolina Hurricanes. And they did pretty well. In 2006, they won a Stanley Cup, and he was awarded the Conn Smythe Trophy, which is basically given to the MVP of that championship team as an appreciation for, hey, you really got us here through the playoffs especially, which is a tough time. So he had a really great career. He spent his last season with the Chicago Blackhawks, but then they wanted him to retire as a Carolina Hurricane. So they gave him a one-day contract so he could retire with the team that he spent the vast majority of his career with.
Yeah, this guy's, he's a legendary guy. Claire, you're an insane hockey fan. This is why I had you on here to introduce this. Why do you love hockey so much? I mean, you're a sommelier, you're a host on a lot of the stuff on SOM TV, but hockey is this passion I don't think a lot of people know that you have. Why?
Yeah. Oh, I just love it. And I have to say, I love that my loves are coming together like they are right now with wine and hockey. It's such a beautiful thing. I grew up, I think part of it has to do with the fact that, you know, it was the sport that I was most exposed to when I was young. My mother and her father, both from Chicago, well, from Germany originally, but she grew up in Chicago. They'd go to Blackhawks games together. And then my sister got really into it, and I actually went to some AHL games with her for the Chicago Wolves. Just started really, really enjoying the sport. It's so unique. You have to talk about how fast-paced this sport is. I mean, you watch another major, you know, sport, football, soccer, whatever, and it almost moves at like a glacial pace after you watch a hockey game. I love seeing people watch live hockey for the first time because they're like, holy, where's the puck? And you almost don't want to watch the puck. You want to watch the plays that are happening on the ice, and you'll see where that puck is going to go. But it's got this incredible pace. Anything can happen because of that pace as well. So if you've got 30 seconds left in a hockey game and you're down a point, anything could change. That could change in a split second. With football, with basketball, when you're at that point in the game, you know, it's pretty much over.
It's hands down my favorite sport to watch live.
It's so
There's
fun.
No question.
Watching those plays, it's like a dance. It's like a ballet. And the players are really cool. They're doing all these cool moves. They're pretty tough. The fights are fun, let's be honest. And you got to appreciate these guys. I remember watching Duncan Keith in the 2010 playoffs. He got a puck to the mouth. The guy spits out like seven teeth, gets tended to a little bit, and goes back on the ice. Like,
yeah,
let's see
the NBA do that.
Yeah, seriously. They're like, oh, I got hurt. And this guy's like, can I go back, please? That's not great for them, you know, long term, but it's pretty badass to watch. So it's just really, really, I love that sport. God, it's so fun. And the fans are awesome.
I'm sure it's great for their blind tasting, you know, getting their noses bashed all the time and their teeth knocked out and, you know.
Probably really, not.
Yeah.
You but know, damn, the, it's sexy.
Yeah.
I love watching Drew Doughty smile with that big gap in his
I love it. Well, so Cam and his partner Jason and some others, they started Vineyard 36 in Napa. Mm. And I think he was very much at the forefront of especially the NHL, but really athletes as a whole at a high level getting into wine and making wine at a very high level. I've had some of their flagship Cabernet, and it's very good. If you like Napa Cabs, it's what you're looking for. You know, I mean, it's kind of like that very high level.
Yeah.
It tastes very well made and it tastes very good. I'm going to get into a conversation with him about why he chose Napa and all that stuff, being a Canadian and why that worked out for him, what he collects. But yeah, Claire, it's great to have you on. I'm going to transition now and talk to Cam and Jason about their venture in Napa Valley and the NHL and wine. It's my honor to have you two on the podcast. It's always great. I get a lot of people on social media that basically say I'm just trying to funnel the whole thing into my interests, which are sports and alcohol. And you guys are the synthesis of both of those things happening at once for me. Cam and Jason, you guys have been making wine now for how long? When did you start?
Well, I mean, we put a few vintages out in like 2009, 2010, as Cam, Tim, and myself basically tried to determine if this was something we wanted to make a serious venture. So we kind of walked into it cautiously and kind of went through the whole process and put a few vintages out. I would say that we really kind of hang our hat around the 2017 vintage when we started bringing in the Beckstoffer fruit and moving our production to Vineyard 29, where we actually produce and make these wines under Keith Emerson, our winemaker.
Well, let me just start too with how did you guys get together were you working together before you started in wine? I'm always fascinated by people who are in different professions who end up making wine and then that becomes their sort of the pain in the ass they didn't realize it was going to be situation. And I know you guys know what I'm talking about. So were you working together before wine or did you meet each other and then this was the purpose?
Yeah, I mean, as you can see behind Cam, you know, he has a passion for collecting primarily Napa Cabernet. And I actually had a winery before this where we were producing different Bordeaux varietals, Cabernets out of Napa Valley, and met Cam through a winemaker dinner that we did locally in Raleigh that he came to, and we just kind of hit it off, and obviously our interest and passion behind Napa Cabernet just kind of kept in touch over the years. And then I actually sold that business and moved to New York. I reached out to Cam one time. I was like, hey, I'm up here. When you're playing the Rangers or Islanders, you know, maybe we could get together, have a glass of wine before, not directly before the game, but like maybe a day before. And, we did. We met for dinner and we kind of kept meeting for dinner. And other guys from the team would come and we always obviously had a good time and shared great synergy for Napa Valley wines.
Let's take a step back, Cam, because the really fascinating thing for me is, first of all, you're from Canada. And I want to ask, growing up, did you drink a lot of wine? Was wine a part of your life? I mean, I'm from the Midwest in the United States and wine was not. It was all beer. So I'm curious for you, what was your experience?
No, you're exactly right. Like growing up in Canada, it was all beer. I didn't get introduced to wine until basically I turned professional in the NHL. So I give a lot of credit for that to getting introduced to wine. I guess one of the beauties of being in the NHL and traveling is you're going out for dinner a lot and hanging out with your teammates. And I quickly realized that most times than not, when we went out for dinner, our guys were ordering a nice bottle of wine, and it soon piqued my interest. I always kind of credited, you know, Ray Whitney, a former player who was a big collector, and he was always the guy that would get the wine list every time that we went out for dinner. And it just really piqued my interest, and I found that if I didn't partake, I'll still have to split my portion of the bill anyway. So I was like, well, I might as well try this stuff and see if I like it. And I found that I really liked Napa Valley Cabernet. And from there, you know, I became a collector. I really enjoyed finding the hard to get wines. And like Jason mentioned, that's ultimately what introduced me to him, was going to one of his previous winery events. And that's how we connected and formed a good friendship from there.
Yeah. So I had Jim Fox on the podcast not incredibly long ago, and he sort of described to me when in his playing days, there wasn't much wine culture in the NHL, but now it's a totally different thing. So he's, you know, kind of a generation before you. But what was the wine culture like? Was everybody drinking wine? Because I don't think the perception of the NHL is that that's what they're drinking. And I want to dispel that. So what are people drinking when you're going out? Is it really, you know, people are talking and having conversations about Beaujolais, you know, while you guys are at hockey dinners?
Yeah, I think I soon realized that a lot of people have the same kind of passion as mine, as, you know, becoming a collector. And, you know, the beauty of wine is it brings people together. That's what I love about it. And, you know, sharing with your teammates, it, you know, creates memories in itself and sharing some stories. And it's a kind of a way of unwinding, I guess, and going over, you know, whatever it is, you know, whether it be talking about hockey games or just everyday life. But I find more times than not that the guys are definitely interested in wine. And if you look at our winery, a lot of our top customers are hockey players. Like Jason's got those bottles in his backdrop there, and, you know, big supporters of our winery. So it's great to see.
Yeah, it sort of feels to me like you guys came in right at the perfect time. You know, I mean, this exact moment, the sports world is sort of on fire with wine. And I think you can credit a lot of that to the NBA, just the sheer visibility the NBA has. But it's across all of it. And I think it's really fascinating. You started making wine right at the crest of when people were starting to really think about it. And now it's hard to find, just the NBA, for example, it's hard to find a player of high status that isn't dabbling in having a vineyard or having a liquor label or something like that. When you guys got into it, Jason, you and Cam, was it as sexy as it is now? I mean, was it something that could identify you and be part of your brand, or was this more of a side passion project that sort of became that?
I think the difference in what we're doing and kind of where we pride ourselves is we came at this as collectors. And this wasn't about, and especially from Cam and Tim, you know, if we were going to do this, we were going to do it right. And we were going to produce the wines that we collect. So we wanted to go out and find premium vineyards. We wanted to find the great winemaker, the facility. And we wanted to produce something that we would be purchasers of and collectors of. And that took a lot of time. And that's what's hard about this business. It's hard for people getting into the business to understand. It takes 2+ years from when we decide to buy those grapes to when we're going to be able to pull a cork on a bottle. And after that first year, you're making decisions to buy more grapes, or are we going to grow fast or slow? And I think over the years, we've kind of done it the right way. I wish we probably had sped it up a little more, because the demand has outpaced our ability to support it. So
that's a good problem.
Could be in the reverse. We could be in the reverse situation with a warehouse full of wine that nobody wants. But around that 2017 mark is when Cam, Tim, and I basically said, if we're going to do this, we got to sink some capital in, and we've got to rebrand the labels. We've got to put some money into the website. We've got to put more serious about where we produce the wine. So all those changes were made around that vintage, where we really focused on the story behind every bottle, the label design, and then most importantly, the quality of the fruit we were getting from places like Beckstoff or George III for our Cabernet and some Merlot from him. And we've kind of continued to try and add on to that by sourcing quality fruit. And obviously being at a world-class facility like 29 has been the game changer, and having Keith at the helm.
Well, so Jason, I know you're rooted in Napa. You've been working there for quite a while. Cam, was there a bottle of Napa Cab prior to working with Jason? Was there a bottle that sort of like hit you and you're like, this is why I want to make wine in Napa versus doing something in France or Canada? I mean, there's plenty of great wine made up there. Why Napa? And what was the bottle? Do you have something you can remember where you're like,
One of my favorite Napa wineries that I got to visit back, I believe it was in 2007, was Continuum. Got to meet Carlo Mondavi, Dante.
Tim Mondavi, who runs it, yep.
Yeah, Tim Mondavi that runs it. I've actually been collecting Continuum since their inaugural vintage in 2005. That really kind of got me into collecting and what I really liked. I love, obviously, I said, you know, big Napa Cabernet, but I love that little touch of Cab Franc into it to soften it up that they put in there. And yeah, so I would kind of credit to them. And we've had good conversations with Carlo. You know, the good thing about the industry down in Napa Valley is that we've gotten a lot of help with the relationships that we've been able to create with other wineries down in the valley. So Carlo was a big inspiration in helping us, get on our feet and get moving.
Yeah, you got to be careful about Carlo. He's a good friend of mine, and I will tell you that you can find yourself, you know, you wake up on Highway 29 and not know how you got there. So just a word of advice. So is this kind of, when you guys set out and you did Vineyard 29, did you set out and say we're trying to kind of emulate or take after something like Continuum? I mean, Continuum is, you know, that's not a cheap habit to collect.
No, I think another inspiration too is Realm
oh, yeah.
Sellers. You know, another great guy, good guy that's really helped us get going is Juan Mercado. And I love their design. I love their branding. And that has kind of been an inspiration. I know that, when you look at our bottles, you know, our foundation, we kind of really wanted to emulate a similar kind of style to Tempest. And that kind of, you know, got us going in that direction. But as far as what we're trying to do is I think we want to be our own too. I mean, you take inspiration from other wineries, but we want to be unique and different and kind of, you know, be something that we can stand on our own. And, you know, when we talk about hockey thing and all that stuff, that definitely helped get us going too. But at the end of the day, when I retired, you know, I want this to, you know, to keep going and be successful aside from just being a hockey wine. We don't want to have that label. We want to be taken more seriously with the wine collectors and people that really enjoy it.
Yeah. Well, it's, you know, we talk to a lot of people who have high status for some reason or another on the pod and, you know, it's kind of do you find it to be sort of a blessing and a curse? I mean, you have a name, you can use it to get the wine out there, but then at a certain point, it kind of becomes, you want the wine to talk. I mean, do you find it to be more of a blessing or a curse? It's probably a question for Jason than it is for Cam, that you're at the front of this. You know, I mean, I'm sure it gets the engine revved up really nicely, but at what point do you want to say, talk to the wine more than talk to Cam Ward type of a thing? What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, for us, the vintage that we are releasing right now are 21s. You know, I said 17 was kind of where we really got serious, but 21 is where we really put our stake in the ground to source some of the most prestigious fruit in Napa Valley out of Oakville Ranch. So, you know, we knew once we secured that fruit that we were going to be at the upper echelon of these collectible wines like Andy Erickson makes from Favia and other wines that are produced from that vineyard. You know, that shows that our commitment truly lies in the vineyard. The direction we were in before was blending wines and creating, you know, the best wine we could make. And now we are introducing wines to from the portfolio that are vineyard designate or varietal designate from a certain vineyard. So we take all the advantages that we get, like in any business, you know, we have to capitalize on the advantage and the exposure that we get from hockey players and other athletes across the NFL and NBA. It's all great, but at the end of the day, if those wines don't stand up in a tasting with the Continuums and the other respected estates of Napa Valley, like, you know, people won't come back. So I think what we hang our hat on is that our customers have continued to support us and love that we introduce new wines every vintage. I mean, this vintage we're releasing, I think, one of the most exciting wines we've ever produced, just from quality-wise and label and packaging, and the 21 Versus, which is a 50-50 blend of Cabernet and Cab Franc from Oakville Ranch. The packaging and an acrylic box to look like, replicate some sort of view of the ice, taking inspiration, the design from Cam's masks and over the years. And so we continue to evolve. If we can't be complacent and just kind of hang our hat on one wine, I think that also gives us advantage. We like to tell stories behind each label. And every year we get to kind of tell a new story.
Well, I mean, there's nothing wrong with being, I mean, if you're going to be the hockey wine, that's a good thing. I mean, how did you guys end up sort of being kind of the unofficial wine of the NHL? I mean, it's kind of like, you know, every player that I have talked to or heard from has, your wine is the one. That's the one they think of first. So how the hell did that come about? Is it just, are you just a really nice guy, Cam? You have a lot of friends, no fights in the league, or?
I mean, that's awesome to hear that. I mean,
Well, you guys are sold out of wine, so you're doing something right there.
Yeah, no, I was very fortunate to play, you know, 14 years in the NHL. So I think throughout that time, you establish a lot of great relationships with people throughout the league. And, you know, you shared, like I said, that passion with wine to other people. And I think early on, too, when we were kind of just, like Jason said, with the 17 vintage on, you know, a lot of us were working hard to introduce the wines to other players and other teammates. And reality is social media is such a big part of our world in today. And a lot of these athletes have a lot of, you know, followers and stuff. So, I mean, a lot of a PR move for us was a lot to introduce our wines and hope that they're able to share to, you know, to whoever their followers are or word of mouth. And, but again, like Jason said about the quality of the wine, you know, they're going to open it up and drink it, but they're going to have to want it to have it back, you know, have it to order more. And, you know, the quality has been able to stand up, and yeah, that's great to hear. I know, you know, Valerie Bure is another hockey player doing wine, and I'm a collector of his wines, and it's also very top notch with Benoit doing their wines. So
yeah, I was going to ask you if there's any competition with you guys or any, you know, any athletes. I mean, I just imagine playing 14 years in the league, you got to be like, you got to still have a competitive nature to yourself and wonder where to put it. I was curious if it's with trying to beat other athletes at their wine.
Well, I mean, obviously you want to be successful, right? I mean, that's, sure. You know, we kind of use that as our versus with the 50-50, you know, it's with the Cabernets competing against the, you know, the Cab Franc, you know, it's just, but yeah, I mean, like anything that I put myself and my name on, I mean, you want it to be successful. So, but, I'd like to hope that Val and both us are very successful.
That's great. That's great. So when you were traveling in this whole entire career, do you remember any standout restaurants, places you visited where you were like, because I would imagine nobody sees the United States and Canada the way somebody on the road, like traveling. Were there any restaurants that you're like, every single time I go into Tampa, I'm going to eat at Burns Steakhouse, or every time I go to this place? Do you have places that you established and over the course of your career, you're like, all right, I'm in, you know, this town, this is where I'm eating. Does that?
Well, you definitely have your favorite restaurants when you're traveling so much. Yeah, as far as, you know, going based off a wine list, I mean, you took the words out of my mouth there with Burns Steakhouse. Everybody knows Burns down in Tampa.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's a staple. You know, Jason, obviously, we have a lot of connection with Keene Steakhouse in New York, solely being because that's where we kind of first enjoyed our own bottles. And, you know, he can share that story of, like, you know, one bottle led to many more. But I believe I played really well the next night too, still. So that was okay. It must have been real good juice. But as far as other ones, now I'm being.
Well, I mean, as a goalie, it's not like you have to, you know, be aware. You can sort
you just
of
gotta stop
out
the puck. You know, that's pretty easy.
Yeah. So, Jason, tell me a little bit about before you started working with Cam. What were the wines that inspired you to get into this stuff? Because, I mean, I think everybody's kind of has the bottle or a bottle, and your taste might change, and you may not, you know, that may not be your wine now. But what was it that got you into, this is going to be my career?
I got into wine, I think, the way everybody does, right? Somebody introduces something that's special to them. And that, for me, was an opportunity to, somebody brought in 1978 Bordeaux, Chateau Palmer. I was not a wine person. And 78 was my birth year. And the experience of that entire evening kind of blew my mind. I mean, the wine, when we first opened it, you know, obviously needed time to open up, and experiencing the wine over hours and hours, I really was kind of blown away. And then a friend of mine was living in San Francisco, invited me out. We'll do Napa. And again, it was kind of right around that same time. So I was like, okay, let's see what this is about. And we got into the cave at Del Dado, and it was my buddy and I, and we are in that dark cave for hours and hours and hours. And at one point, we didn't know who this guy was that was giving us the tour, but man, he was so passionate. And at one point, after hours of drinking wine, he held up a glass and he said, "This is the most complex liquid other than human blood." And I was like, are we about to get hostage, you know, captured in this cave and never let out? Or, and I was like, I got to ask, who are you? And he was like, I'm Dave Delgado. This is my place.
So, oh, that's great,
man. And I swear right then I was like, the experience of being in there and then how, you know, he ended up turning on, he had a disco ball in there and turning the music on. And I mean, it was like, this is what it was about. The experience and of being in there, I was like, man, one day I would love to be able to do this and produce wine and share them with people like this. So,
you know, it's a funny thing. The wine world is a very generous place. I think that, you know, the exterior idea that there's like a bunch of snobbery or any of that stuff, it's really, I, you know, in my 16, 17 years of doing this, I've never really seen that. I've just seen it from people who on the outside that act the way they think, you know, it is. So it's a real generous place. I have not found myself in a hostile situation in a cave, but I will tell you.
I recommend it, to be honest with you. I mean, if you're going to be captured, you might as well be surrounded by quality juice.
So what's been the biggest challenge? You guys started the winery and now you have, you know, real time under your belts. And I'm assuming you got contracts for fruits. It's going to keep going. You're not going to end this now. What was the biggest challenge and what is the biggest pain in your ass that you have to deal with making wine, doing all of this?
And trying to figure out where you're going to be 2 years from now. It is unlike any other business where you have a lot of demand. If you were making t-shirts, we can print some more shirts right away. This is the situation where we have a large capital investment and we have to continue making that year over year and trying to meet demand. So it is a very difficult process and trying to do it perfectly. You know, you don't want to make way too much wine that you're not going to be able to sell it. And then you don't want to make not enough wine that you have people, you know, wanting it and we can't provide it. So that's the hardest part. I mean, we just secured some incredible fruit from Blackbird Vineyard that we're going to be bringing in this year and going to release a new bottle behind that designate wine. So like we've continued to add quality fruit. It's just about how much and how much money do we have to kind of continue to reinvest in the business.
Cam, I want to go back to when you won the Stanley Cup with Carolina. I mean, it's sort of a crazy thing. You won MVP. You know, as a goalie, it's not the most common thing to happen. You must have been, I mean, I would have been doing some serious hard drugs after that. You probably weren't. But what did you drink out of the Stanley Cup? So you had the Stanley Cup. What did you drink out of it?
Oh, it's probably like, what didn't we drink out of it?
Give me this story, because this is always a fascinating.
Keep in mind, when we won the Stanley Cup, I mean, I was just turned 22, so wine was still kind of a little bit later on.
Sure.
So bringing it back to Canada, it was a lot of, you know, beer.
Molson Triple X.
Yeah. Labatt Blue and that kind of thing. But, oh, man, after we won, I was so young that I would have appreciated it a lot more if I was lucky enough to do it again. You know, you soon realized how difficult it was to get back into that situation. One of the cool things that we're doing with our winery is that every year, whoever wins the Stanley Cup, we've been able to get a player from the team to be able to decant our wine into the Stanley Cup and, you know, take a good picture with it and stuff like that. So it's kind of been a really good tradition for our winery to always know that our wine is being poured into the Stanley Cup with the player, whoever wins from the Stanley Cup team.
That's incredible. Did you eat anything out of it? Do you remember any of the stories?
Yeah. I mean, we did the ice cream out of it. I believe I had cereal in the morning. yeah, there's a lot of, it, you know, it's a bit of a blur, you know. There's a lot that is going on with your day with the cup, because, you, like I said, with me being a rookie, I only actually had the cup for 24 hours. Nowadays, you kind of see other players that are able to take it and win. They have it for 2-3 days, and I'd like to think that if I would have won it again later on in my career, that I would have had a little bit more time with it and, again, appreciate it a little bit more.
All right, what would you drink out of it right now? Let's say this is your last season. You're in the playoffs right now. You win. Now you have this knowledge. You are who you are today. What would you pour into that cup, and who would you drink it with?
Well, I'd probably pour in our five bands.
You can't say your wine. You got to say something else. Come on.
You know, I'd probably throw in my Harlins and stuff like that.
Yeah.
got some behind me, maybe the 07 Harlan or Scarecrow, 100 Acre, those kind of guys.
Yeah, the stuff you need an excuse to open kind of thing.
Yeah, you tend to need an excuse, but I don't come up with too many excuses to.
That's why I try to make an excuse to come visit, because then I can be the excuse.
If we didn't do this through a screen, we'd be surely enjoying some of that right now.
So you were introduced to wine by a veteran player when you were a younger mm-hmm. player. Did you introduce anybody to wine that's playing now? Do you remember that you were sort of passing that on before you left the league?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, we've had actually contacts with, you know, Brandon Saws reached out to us. He wants to start doing his own kind of thing. I played with him in Chicago. He kind of knew what we were doing, and it really piqued his interest to be able to dabble into it. And so we've been able to help kind of get him started, and definitely with other teammates of collecting wine.
For me, it's great to see wine become something that is not just this insular, you know, stuffy people get to drink it. When it touches sports, then it sort of, you know, touches all the fans as well. And for me, that's mm-hmm. a great thing, because I think wine is for everybody. Where can people get your wine? I want to make sure you guys get a nice plug. And then also, if they have to get on the waiting list because you're out of it, at least get on the waiting list. Where can they get it?
Vineyard36.com. And we can pretty much ship the wine to most places in the U.S. For the Canadians that constantly email us and trying to figure out where to get the wine, it truly is a very difficult thing to get the wine into, like, Ontario, but we do have distribution in Alberta. So I know that the wine is available through retail in Alberta, and people always feel free to email us directly, and we'll steer you in the right direction to places locally in your state to get it.
You know, the good news is a bunch of pissed off Canadians is nothing like a bunch of pissed off New Yorkers. So, you know,
we're fine.
It's a lot easier to deal with. It's a huge pleasure to have you boys on. I really appreciate it. Your wine's fantastic, so I recommend anybody listening to get some. All right, gentlemen, I really appreciate it. Thanks for being on the pod.
No, thank you. Appreciate it.
I want to thank everybody for listening. Remember, if you have SomTV.com, you can watch my conversation with Cam and Jason on the episode streaming in our conversation series. Go to SomTV.com. We have hundreds and hundreds of hours of content. If you're not a subscriber, you should be. I want to thank John Adams, who produced this episode, Claire for joining me earlier. And I want all of you, if you have a favorite athlete that is working in wine, please hit us up on social media. Let me know. I'd love to have them on the podcast. This is one of my favorite things to do, is talk to people who are breaking new ground in the wine business and also getting more people to care about the stuff we love. All right. Thank you all. Be safe and have a glass for me.